вечно таймак выйти. Таково жака наказ, простори курвище. Вылетаю в родный край, всех, кто мае крыла. Жде нас ясный небо край, жде вещина мила. Над сонним містом крила лебедів несуть у висоти чисті. Розривай завісу сну, ніби павутину, плинь у неба глибину, в долю лебедину.
Poetry of Oles Bernek put to music by an unknown artist. That was Vichna Tajna Kleče Nas, Eternal Mystery Calls Us. Vitaju vas vsih, dorihi radio suheći, na radio peredaču Naš Holos, radio Krinskoho Korinja. Pri mikrofoni Palvina Makuari, djakuju što rišile perebuće zimnoju nastupnu hodenu. Me majmo duže cikavi novene na sjednjišnji programi i takož čudovu krinsku muziku. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Pavlina. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you on Ukrainian Jewish heritage, a look at the role that museums play in understanding history and applying it to our lives today, as well a book review about the assassin of Stepan Bandera. So stay tuned for all of that. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a brand new group from the United Kingdom. They are called Kov Cossacks. And here they are now from their recently released EP and a song called Beyond Yasadila, kind of taking a traditional Ukrainian folk song just a little beyond. Kov Cossacks with Beyond Yasadila.
Віконця біля відкритого вікна. До мене циганка, до мене чорнява, я аж під віконцем підійшла. До мене циганка, до мене чорнява, я аж під віконцем підійшла. Та же дівчину білу рученьку, гай я тобі поворожу. Хоч я циганка, хоч я молода, я всю щиру правду розкажу. Хоч я циганка, хоч я молода, я всю щиру правду розкажу. Карти виграває, про тебе ще забув давно. Він грає грає карти, карти виграває, про тебе вже забув давно. О, як він може про мене забути, коли образок на стіні? Ой, як він може про мене забути, коли синочок на руці? Ой, як він може про мене забути, коли синочок на руці? Сама йди по межі дівчата, кращої долі пошукай. А сама йди по межі дівчата, кращої долі пошукай.
Tickets today for Canada's National Ukrainian Festival August Long Weekend in Dauphin, Manitoba. For over 50 years, CNUF has showcased the very best in Ukrainian culture through music, food, and of course, incredible dancing. Get your early bird weekend passes right now for only $85. Your weekend pass is your passport to a full weekend of activities and live ongoing entertainment. Canada's National Ukrainian Festival, August Long Weekend in Dauphin, Manitoba. For more information, see cnuf.ca.
Коробочку раків приносить, а я ті раки забрала, а якого з хати прогнала. З хати, бо на печі батько та мати, а за пічку батькові діти, ні до тебе якове діти. Не пішов же Яків додому, та заліз у хижку в солому, а собаки гавкати стали, поки батько й мати не стали. Наробили галасу діти, так шанувно в хаті сидіти. Я забрала раки у миску, сама пішла спати у хижку. Коли туди батько приходять, і у мисі раки знаходять, намагався, і хто приніс раки, признайся. Поки мене батько питався, а мій як із хижки убрався, через тин та через городу, наробивши батькові шкоду. Не приходжу я по венічу, бо буде сторожа піпічу. Мене батько й мати все лають, а що тебе ніяк не піймають.
Ukrainian-American group Kurinya from their recently released EP and a traditional Ukrainian folk song about a young man. That's one of those courtship songs, Yakiev, and that translates as Joseph. Up next, coming north of the border from Montreal, we have Lesya and a more contemporary rendition of a traditional Ukrainian folk song. It's called Chervonaya Kalinoinka, which translates as the Red Guelder Rose. And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Peter Baeger. History, trauma, and the museum space. Museums can offer many faces to the world. From dusty collections of artifacts to dramatic arenas outlining or avoiding compelling national or cultural narratives. A recent lecture sponsored by the Center for Urban History of East Central Europe in Lviv looked at the role museums play in tackling difficult issues in history. Vadim Altskan, originally born in Ukraine, is a historian specializing in Eastern European, Balkan, and Jewish history. He is a project director for the International Archival Programs at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum's Center for Advanced Holocaust Studies. Altscan's lecture was entitled The Missing Page in Museums, The History of Jewish Communities as Part of the Multi-Ethnic Heritage of Ukraine. The challenge of integrating the history of the Jewish communities of Ukraine into the museums and educational systems of contemporary Ukraine is not a problem unique to that country alone. Ukraine's neighbors in Eastern Europe and the post-Soviet space have grappled with this issue with varying degrees of frustration and success. Altscan made the fundamental point that to provoke interest in other people's lives requires you to show who they were, how they lived, and why they are no longer here. Museums play a key role in showing or not showing all of this. So how is Jewish history presented in Ukrainian museums today? Altscan noted the national network of privately funded Jewish museums, with the largest in Dnipro, and others in Odessa, Chernivtsi, Kharkiv, Kryvyi Rih, Khmelnytsky, Kherson, Kyiv, and Lviv. Some interesting temporary exhibitions are now being held in state museums, most recently in Lviv. Nonetheless, current Ukrainian public knowledge of Ukrainian Jewish history is fragmentary and incomplete. Why is Ukrainian Jewish history missing, and how can it be returned to the Ukrainian public? Altscan forthrightly listed the problems in developing a jointly acceptable Ukrainian and Jewish narrative for museums and the educational sector. There is a vague and distorted knowledge of each other's history. There is ethnocentrism. There are viewpoints that don't fit into the well-established concerns and canons of each community's history. Altscan identified five problematic areas of history. They include the Khmelnytsky Cossack uprising against the Poles in the 17th century. There was the Haidamak popular rebellion against the Polish regime in the 18th century. There were the pogroms in Russian Tsarist-ruled central and eastern Ukraine in the 19th century. There was the bloody civil war after the Russian Revolution of 1917, followed a couple of decades later by the Holocaust. Altscan asks how all these historic events could be treated by both nations. Do we see these events differently? And why? All of this is aggravated and complicated. Altscan underlined that for much of their history, Jews and Ukrainians lived in two solitudes, in two parallel worlds. While a Jewish-Ukrainian dialogue gathered speed in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, fueled by emerging nationalism and Zionism, the Ukrainian state-building project failed to be implemented after the First World War. This tragic failure laid the foundation for worse relations for much of the 20th century. Both nations accused each other of betraying the other. Ironically, as Altscan pointed out, the Ukrainian-Jewish dialogue re-emerged later in the camps of the Soviet Gulag. Jews and Ukrainians shared the same physical space, could openly speak with each other, and despite differences, shared the urge for freedom. This laid the foundation of a new dialogue, augmented by developing academic contacts between the Jewish and Ukrainian diasporas in the West. And of course, as Altscan reminded us, Jews and Ukrainians now have their own independent states and can interact as equals. Furthermore, third parties can't interfere with this dialogue. The challenging question now, as Altscan asks, is what kind of history should we teach and show now in museums? The answer is to avoid a black and white approach. It should be multidimensional, with many tints and colors. In Altscan's view, Ukrainian historians and museums should refrain from heroic myths and controversial figures that alienate non-Ukrainians. And Jewish historians should reject outdated Ukrainophobic approaches. A usable past for both Jews and Ukrainians can stress the more positive features of neighborly relations between the two communities. Find heroes who are consolidating for Ukrainian society. Those figures who built the economy and industry. Oral history on the local level builds bridges to another culture. As an audience member said in response to Altscan's presentation, people today want to find out how people in the past lived, what brought them together, not what divided them. Altscan underlined that young Ukrainians today are free people who have never experienced slavery. This is crucial for the development of a civil society. It will be a gradual and lengthy process, as the examples of neighboring Poland and Lithuania show. And museums, telling the story not only of Ukrainians, but everyone who was in Ukraine, are important in shaping that civil society. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Hollis Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baeger. Until next time, Shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, ukrainianjewishencounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Ви слухаєте радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio. Говорить Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Павліна. Canadian pianist Maria Dolnecki with Waltz by Levko Ruvitsky, 19th century Ukrainian composer. Up next, very popular Ukrainian group from back in the 1980s, Nezhures, and a traditional Ukrainian patriotic song, Oy Uluzi Chervona Kalena, another song about that highbush cranberry, also known as a guelder rose, and that is kind of the national tree of Ukraine, a very symbolic plant indeed. Nezhures with Oy Uluzi Chervona Kalena.
Oy Uluzi червона калина похилилася. Чогось наша славна Україна зажурилася. А ми тую червону калину підіймемо, а ми нашу славну Україну ей розвеселимо. А ми тую червону калину підіймемо, а ми нашу славну Україну ей розвеселимо. Наші добровольці у кривавий там, визволяти братів українців з ворожих кайдан. А ми наших братів українців визволимо, а ми нашу славну Україну гей-гей розвеселимо. А ми наших братів українці визволимо, а ми нашу славну Україну гей-гей розвеселимо. Ой, любові, ярої пшенички, золотисті лан, розпочали стрільці українські з ворогами там.
Дівоче страждання, і на світі.
A girl group from Montreal by the name of Chetam Shena that's been around for a long, long time and a great favorite of mine. And that was a medley of traditional Ukrainian folk songs. Coming up next is another girl group from Montreal, and I think this is going to be another one of my favorites. They're fairly young. They put out this recording a couple of years ago. They are called Rosa, and here they are now with a song about a different tree, also kind of common in Ukrainian folklore, a poplar tree, Stoit Topolya.
Наче доля, яка вросла у рода від юками синє небо коле, збирає горлицю в полі, стоїть ополя на роздолі, легенда пам'яті жива, і лисям промовляє поволі, святі Шевченкові слова. Тополя, тополя, глибоке коріння, полі журавлини і її верхові. Тополя, тополя, задума осіння в очах мого серця, як матір стоїть. Стоїть тополя, день світає, і потріскані корі, стоїть одненька, виглядає своїх синів скрутих далів. Стоїть тополя, не старіє, і уходить час у мить. Я втішаюсь і радію, що корінь з нею в нас один. Тополя, тополя, глибоке коріння, політ журавлини і її верховіт. Тополя, тополя, задума осіння в очах мого серця, як матір стоїть. Стоїть до поля, наче доля, яка вросла у родові, вілками синє небо голе, збирає горлицю в полі, стоїть тополя на роздолі, легенда пам'яті жива, і лисям промовляй поволі, святі Шевченкові слова. Тополя, тополя, глибоке коріння, політ журавлини і її верховіт. Тополя, тополя, задума осіння в очах мого серця, як матір стоїть. Тополя, тополя, глибоке коріння, політ журавлини і її верховіт. Тополя, тополя, задума осіння в очах мого серця, як матір стоїть.
Welcome to Knyzhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knyzhka Corner, we will be discussing Serhii Plokhii's non-fiction thriller, The Man with the Poison Gun, a Cold War spy story. The Man with the Poison Gun Serhiy Plotkin's first nonfiction thriller, focuses on the life of Bogdan Stashinsky, the assassin who killed Stepan Bandera and Lev Rebet. The very first paragraph sets up a shocking comparison between fiction and real life. In the fall of 1961, while David Cornwell, a British spy, more commonly known as Jean Le Carré, was contemplating the writing of his first best-selling novel, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, the West German police were actually interrogating a Soviet spy. That spy was Bogdan Stashinsky. His story begins in 1949, in post-war Ukraine, when Nikita Khrushchev, then the party boss of Ukraine, decided that he needed to destroy the Ukrainian resistance by killing the leader of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, OUN, Stepan Bandera. Bandera had spent years in Polish prisons and the German concentration camp of Sachsenhausen. His followers were now headquartered in Munich, the center of the American occupation zone in Germany. In early 1950, Bogdan Stashinsky was arrested by the Soviets for a minor offense and given an ultimatum: cooperate with the Soviets and become a traitor to Ukraine, or face prison time and possible death along with his entire family. Bogdan chose to become an agent of the Soviets. Stashinsky returned from Lviv to his native village and told his relatives that the secret police were hot on his heels. Everyone agreed that under the circumstances he had no choice but to flee to the forest and join the guerrillas. His initial task involved betraying members of the Ukrainian underground, which led to arrests and assassinations. When Stashinsky's family found out the truth about what he had done, Stashinsky had nowhere to go. He had saved his family by betraying it. They did not want to have him around anymore. The secret police would become his new home and family. As an agent of the Soviet secret police, Bogdan would be trained in spycraft and assassination techniques. His weapon was a poison gun, which would immediately kill his target with undetectable poisonous fumes. His initial target in Munich was Lev Rebet, a troublesome Ukrainian journalist. The KGB described Rebet as an intellectual leader of the Ukrainian nationalists who wrote articles inciting Ukrainians to fight against the Soviet occupiers. Stashinsky killed Rebet on October the 12th, 1957. After his initial success, he was given a more important target, the leader of OUN, Stepan Bandera. Bandera's assassination was more complex because of his bodyguard, and it involved following the Ukrainian leader for weeks on end. However, Stashinsky eventually saw his opportunity when Bandera was alone after a shopping trip and murdered him on October the 15th, 1959, in the stairwell of his home. At first, authorities were mystified by Bandera's death, calling it a stroke or a possible suicide. The poison that killed Bandera left no trace, so it was not until Stashinsky defected to West Germany that he revealed how Bandera died. In order to stay in the West, Stashinsky had to convince German authorities that the KGB wanted to kill him because of what he knew about the Soviet assassination plots. He was eventually tried for the murders of Rebet and Bandera, and his trial opened up the truth to the world for the very first time. The Man with the Poison Gun is a very interesting book about post-war Soviet and European politics. Khrushchev's role in the deaths of Rebet and Bandera was shocking to the world community at the time. Today, the attempted assassination of Ukraine's President Viktor Yushchenko and the successful assassinations of journalist Alexander Litvinenko in London, Sergei Magnitsky in a Russian prison, and Boris Nemtsov on a bridge in Moscow are brutal reminders that the strategies of the post-war KGB are still alive and well in Russia. Plotkin was able to write his book because of the information he gathered from Stashinsky's trial testimony, as well as recently released historical documents such as KGB and CIA archives. His extensive notes will be very useful to anyone wanting to know more about post-war Ukrainian resistance. Plotkin is a historian, not a writer of spy thrillers like John le Carré or Ian Fleming, and he has difficulty describing Stashinsky's moral qualms about killing his victims. He tells readers that in his early days as a Soviet agent, Bogdan was confused, since he had been raised as a Christian. The idea of killing another human being was difficult for him to contemplate. However, Bogdan did proceed to kill both Rebet and Bandera, regardless of his confusion. Despite these issues, Plotkin's book is an interesting and revealing exposé of Stashinsky's life as a Soviet agent and his role in the murders of Rebet and Bandera. Readers will be surprised to learn that Ian Fleming actually modeled part of his novel, The Man with the Golden Gun, on the actions of Bogdan Stashinsky. Although The Man with the Poison Gun is Serhii Plotkin's first nonfiction thriller, he has written extensively on the history of Ukraine and Eastern Europe. His most recent works include The Gates of Europe, A History of Ukraine, The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union, and The Cossack Myth, History and Nationhood in the Age of Empires. Plotkin was born in Russia to Ukrainian parents, but grew up and went to school in Ukraine. He received his PhD in history from Kyiv University. He was a professor of history and associate director of the Peter Yatsik Center for Ukrainian Historical Research at the University of Alberta. He is currently the Mikhail Khrushchevsky Professor of Ukrainian History at Harvard University. The Man with the Poison Gun is available at Chapters Indigo and Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Knishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Vyslukhite radio peredachu Nash Holos Radio Ukrainskoho Korinya po mereji PCJ Radio. Pri mikrofoni Pavlina. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you courtesy PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Pavlina.
Embrace the Ukrainian culture, music, food, and dancing at Canada's National Ukrainian Festival, August 3rd to 5th, Dauphin, Manitoba. Your early bird weekend pass is only $85. Day passes and camping passes are also available. Purchase your tickets online at cnuf.ca.
Чому згубився твій самотній слід? Знаєш ти одна, але осінь отислід, лісям ще не крила, ода тебе навесені я повернусь, мила. Твої руки я візьму, знову свої руки, не розквітне поміж нас жовтий квіт розлуки. Давай, очей плати, співай мені в останній раз пісню ту, візьму собі на спомин, пісня буде поміж нас. О, твій голос, о, твій голос, щедра повінь, я мов колос, зелен колос, з нею повінь.
ти спаде і висте зелений, а ти в пісні будеш завжди біля мене. Як зійду сніги із гір потоками, ой, глибокими на весні. Квіткою наснися синьокою, та лені мені вдалині. Але осінь отеслит, листям ще не крила, бо до тебе на весні я повернусь мила. Твої руки я візьму, знову слух руки, не розквітне поміж нас жовтики від розлуки. Не давай очей плаки. Візьму собі на спомин, пісня буде поміж нас. О, ти, Господь, ось щедра повінь, я мов колос, зелен колос, землею повен. Жовтий лист спаде і висте зелений, а ти в пісні будеш завжди біля мене. Бо ти, Господь, ось щедра повінь, я мов колос, зелен колос, землею повен. Спаде жовтий лист і висте зелений, а ти в пісні будеш завжди біля мене. Спаде жовтий лист і висте зелений, а ти в пісні будеш завжди біля мене. Спаде жовтий лист і висте зелений, а ти в пісні будеш завжди біля мене.
And Volodymyr Ivasyuk with one of his popular recordings, Pisnya Bude Pomizh Nas. This song will be with us. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, shortwave, and satellite radio. If you miss the live radio transmissions of any edition of the show, you can find us in between broadcasts at www.nashholos.com, where you can get the podcast links to all three editions of the show, as well as other audio features, transcripts, and more. As well, make sure to follow us on Twitter, like the Nash Holos Facebook page, and visit our blog. I love to hear from you, so please send your comments, suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. На жаль, ми закінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на щодень тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Де згода немає, там усе зло буває. And our proverb of the week translates as, where there is no harmony, there are all kinds of evil. Well, our time is almost up, so to take us to the end of our program, we have Stephen Chwok and his Cymbala students from Edmonton and a traditional Ukrainian folk song or dance, Ishumet Ihudea, the blowing wind. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.